Begin the current daf Masechta Shabbos daf Mem Gimel. Begin on the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. In the previous daf, Rabba explained the opinion of Rav Chisda. The Rav Chisda said, "What's the understanding of our Mishnah that said one is not allowed to put a vessel catching the drops of oil that are dripping out of a lamp, and similarly that a person is not allowed to put a vessel to catch an egg that's rolling down on Shabbos? However, that there was an exception regarding a case when, let's say, a chicken gave birth to laid an egg in the garbage dump, and that's because." The halacha is that a person is not allowed to move anything, even a permitted vessel, for something that's not allowed to be used on Shabbos. And therefore, the drips of oil which are coming out, which they are muksa. And similarly, an egg which was laid on Shabbos is muksa. Therefore, one is not allowed to use and move a permissible keli to go out and catch it, because you're not allowed to move it for something that has no use, permitted usage on Shabbos. And therefore, you're not allowed to move that keli for it on Shabbos. However, Rabbi said in the understanding of Rav Chisda that there is an exception, and that is for what's called Hatzalah Mitsuya, that's Mutaris, as a precaution to save something that's commonplace, that's permitted. And therefore, an egg that's laid by a chicken in a garbage dump, which is common to chickens to do, and people walk there and they're going to step in and break the egg, therefore one is allowed to take a vessel and cover the egg on Shabbos to protect it. And that was the halacha that Rabbi said in the opinion of Rav Chisda. On that, we started already on the previous daf, different questions that Abaye was asking on Rabbah from different Mishnayos and Braises that seemed to point otherwise. And the Gemara continues this line of questioning. So the Gemara begins. Eisvei, Abaye asked to Rabbah, we learned in the Mishnah, Koifin ka'or alaner, that a person is allowed to invert a bowl over a lamp, and that is shalayeches b'koyer, so that it shouldn't set fire to the beams. And the question is, that here we're talking about something that's muksa, the lamp is obviously muksa, it's a fire, and you're moving this, you're inverting this bowl, you're moving it for the purpose of something that's muksa, and it's not common that, so to speak, the roof should get on fire. So therefore, the two clauses are not like Rabbah said. Rabbah said that if you can't move something for something that's not usable, and the only way you could is if it's something that's common, and here it's not common. So how does the Mishnah say that you're allowed to use the bowl to invert it over the lamp? And that the Gemara says, Bebote Gechin, we're talking about houses that have low ceilings, to Shechicha B'hut Leika, where it's common to have a fire because it's not so far up from where the lamp is, and therefore you're allowed to invert it because although it's being moved for something that's Muktzah that can't be used on Shabbos, however, this is where the clause of Hatzalah Mitsuya, where it's a common occurrence that this incident, this accident might happen, that's why you're allowed to take the bowl and invert it over the lamp. So Abai continues his questioning. We learned, V'chein Kaira Shenishbur, also regarding a beam that broke on Shabbos, Soimchen Oysa Besar, so you're allowed to support that beam with a bench, Ubarucha Samitan with the sideboards of the bed. So again, here we're talking about something that broke, that's Muktzah on Shabbos, and still you're allowed to support it, and so therefore you're moving something that's permitted to move, for example, the bench or the bed, which are things that are permissible to move, but you're moving it for something that's Muktzah, and it's not something that's common that a beam should break. So again, how are you allowed to move something for something that can't be moved? Letzerech Dover She'in Anitel, and yet it's not a common occurrence. Tosfos Gemara gives a similar answer, B'chshuri Chadati. We're talking about new beams that weren't really attached so well yet, and when the whole weight of the house weighs down in it, it's something that the Gemara says that Davidi Depaki, that it's very common for it to break, and therefore, again, it does apply to the clause that preempts that and says that since Hatzalah Mitsui, it's something that's common to happen, that's why you're allowed to move it, in spite of the fact that it's for something that's Muktzah that can't be moved on its own. So Abaye continues his questioning and says that we learn Neisnin Kli Tachas Adelef B'Shabbos. We're allowed to put a vessel under the leaking rainwater that's leaking in on Shabbos into one's house. And that is, you, so to speak, putting the vessel to catch it. So the question is, again, this rainwater is something that's muktzah because it has no usage. And still, it's not so common for someone to have a leak in his house. So again, according to the way Rabbi interpreted Rav Chisda, that Hatzalah Mitsuya is muteres, but if it's not mitsuya, it's not muteres. So here again, it's not a common occurrence, and it's for something, it's being moved, the cup, like for example, the dripping water coming out of the air conditioner, where it's not usable water, and therefore you're not allowed to move the cup to go catch it. So how here are we allowed to catch it? And that the Gemara says, Bebati Chadati. Here we're talking about a new house, the Shechicha D'Dalfi, where it is common that it's going to leak. And again, therefore that's considered Hatzalah Mitsuya, and that therefore it's not a question on Rabbah, because you're allowed to move it, although it's for something that's not usable. However, since you're going to, it's something that's a common occurrence for this incident to happen, that's where you're allowed to move the vessel to go ahead and catch that dripping rainwater. So up until now was the opinion of the way Rabbah was interpreting the opinion of Rav Chisda. Abaye had asked questions, and we resolved those questions. It's not difficult. Now the Gemara gives another interpretation in the opinion of Rav Chisda. As the Gemara says, Rav Yosef Omer, Hainu Tarmat Rav Chisda, what's the reason of Rav Chisda that he said that a person is not allowed to put a vessel under the Tarnagelis, under the chicken, to go ahead and catch the egg that it's laying? Again, according to Rabbi, he said the reason was because you're not allowed to move something, a permissible keli, a cup, a bowl, or a plate, whatever it is, to go catch the egg, because you're not allowed to move anything if it's for something that's not movable, that's einei nito. Rav Yosef gives a different interpretation. And the reason is, because you're nullifying a vessel from its preparedness. And that is, it was prepared from before Shabbos or on Shabbos, then you're allowed to move it because it's permissible. It's a regular cup or a bowl. Now you're making it muktzah because now, so to speak, it's part and parcel. It's, so to speak, subordinate to something that's muktzah. Therefore, you can't move it. Taisus says two different interpretations from Rashi elsewhere and over here that A, it looks like that you're demolishing something, which would be the Isra of Saiser, because now you can't move it anywhere. Or it's because it's as if you're attaching it with cement, because now it's stuck to the place where it is, because now it can't move, could subordinate, and therefore that's like binyan. Either way, the problem is, mevata kli mechanai, since you're nullifying it from its preparedness, and now you can't move it anymore, therefore you can't go ahead, and Rav Chisda says that you can't go catch it, the egg that's rolling down the hill with a cup into the bowl. On that, Eser Abaya asks, now he asks on Rav Yosef's interpretation of Rav Chisda, all the questions that he asked on Rabbi's interpretation of Rav Chisda. As the Gemara brings, Chavish al Tevel Shenishba, we learned about a barrel of Tevel that was untithed produce that the maestros were not taken off of it, and it broke. So the halacha is maybe Kliach or Menech Tachdei, you're allowed to bring a different bowl and to catch all the thing that it should, all the produce shouldn't get ruined. And again, the question over here is that we have something that's Mukta, and now when you're going to catch it with this thing, you're going to be Mevata Kli Mechani, you're going to nullify this bowl or whatever it is you're using to catch that Tevel because now you can't move it anymore, it's subordinate to the Tevel. So Amalei Tevel Muchen Hu Eitzah Shabbos. Note that Tevel is considered prepared regarding Shabbos. That is, Tevel is not Muktzah. And the reason is because Shem Ava V'tikne, because if a person would transgress and he would perfect it, that he would be Mesakin, that he would take off the proper Trumas and Maises, the unnecessary Mesukin, it would be prepared. And therefore, it doesn't apply the Halach of Muktzah. Rather, there's only an Isser. And therefore, if someone comes and he's over on the words of the Chacham that say, you're not allowed to take Truman Shabbos, and it does perfect that it's Mesukin, and therefore you're allowed to move it and to eat it, and therefore you don't have the problem of Mevata Kli Mechanim, because the Tevel, although it would seem that it should have the Halach of Muktzah, they can't be used because you can't use it on Shabbos, it could be because if someone would be over, it would be usable, and therefore we don't give it the Halachic status of Muktzah. So now the Abaye continues questioning on Rav Yosef. We learned noixnin kli tachas aner lekabel nitzaitzes. A person allowed to put a vessel under a lamp to catch the sparks. And the problem here is here also that once the sparks come into this bowl, you're being mevata kli mechani. You're not going to be able to use the bowl anymore because now it's subordinate to these sparks, which are usher. It's like a fire which you can't move on Shabbos. So Rav Huna bar Yehoshua and nitzaitzes ein behen mamish. Sparks don't have any substance to it, and therefore you're allowed to move it after the sparks fell in it. It's like there's nothing there. And that's why it does not become batel kli mechanim, because nothing ever happened to this bowl after the spark, so to speak, like died out. So by continuous questioning, we learned v'chein kairish and nishbura, also regarding a beam that broke, that you could support the broken beam with a bench or with the side post of the bed. And here, the way it seems like from the question is that you would, so to speak, really wedge it in, and now you won't be able to move it anymore because you want to support the beam. And the problem is now you're being mevatel, you can't use it as a bed anymore, you can't use it as a bench anymore because now it's, so to speak, being used to support the building. So again, you're being mevatel kli mechanai. How are you allowed to do that? And I think Gemara says the Rafi that he did it loosely. The Iba Yishokali, because if he wants, he could take it away, and therefore it wasn't totally wedged in, it's not stuck in like part of the building. And therefore that's not considered as if you nullified it. And that's why it's mutter to do. But of course, it would be totally stuck in, then it would be aser. Abaye continues questioning on Rav Yosef that we learned, noisnin kli tachas adelf b'shabbos. A person is allowed to put a vessel under the dripping water that's pouring in from the rain outside on Shabbos. And the problem is that these drips that are dripping in are muktzah, and therefore it's being mevatel the kli mechanai. You can't move the kli anymore. It's subordinate to that. How are you allowed to do that the way Rav Yosef is interpreting this halacha of Rav Chisda? Now the Gemara says, b'delef haroi. We're talking about raindrops that are suitable, in other words, that you could drink. And therefore, it does not have a loch of muktzah. And therefore, when the raindrops are coming in, it's not a problem because you could go ahead and drink that water. It's not subordinate to something that's muktzah. And therefore, you're not being mevatel the kli from its preparedness. Sabai continues asking that we learn kaifin es asal lefnei afreichin, that a person is allowed to invert a basket in front of young birds, shiyala b'yerdu, that they can go up in it and down it. In other words, that they could use it as a step to get somewhere or to come down from somewhere. The problem is that birds are muktzah. Animals you're not allowed to be mishtamish with, you're not allowed to use it. And therefore, this bowl, this basket that you're inverting is becoming subordinate to the birds. And again, you're being mevatel kli mechanai, you're taking it away from its preparedness that you could have used the basket. And now it's becoming subordinate to the birds. And therefore, how are you allowed to do that? And that the Gemara says, k'savim mutl tatle, that he holds it. No, you're allowed to move the basket. It's not a problem. So We learned that it is subordinate to the birds and that it's forbidden to move it. And that the Gemara answers, Ba'idin Allah. That's only when the birds are on it. And therefore, when the birds are on it, so again, then it's subordinate. But when the birds come down and they passed it, so therefore it's like a regular basket and there's no problem. That's why he's not being Mevatel Kli Mechaneh. And that the Gemara asks, no, but Ba'atanya Af Bisha Einodin Allah Vasa. We learned that even if the birds are not on it, once you invert it and they're using it as this tool, as so to speak, to get up and down, it's done. You can't use the basket anymore. So it's like the Gemara, Amr Bavo, Ba'idin Allah Kobein Hashmashes. When did we say that even when it's not on it, it's prohibited? If it was at least at one point on it, that's if it was on it the entire period of Bein Hashmashes of twilight when it was going in from Friday to Shabbos. And the svara is because Mige this Gatzoy le Bein Hashmashes, that once we say that it was set aside the whole entire period of Bein Hashmashes of twilight when it was coming at the Shabbos, the halach is this Gatzoy le Kuli Yayma, that then it's considered Muktzah for the entire day of Shabbos. However, if it was put there after Shabbos, just let's say on Shabbos day, then once the birds are off, then you're allowed to take it away. That's no problem. And therefore, that was the halacha that we said that you're allowed to put it there in front of the birds that they can go up and down. It's because that's not being mevatel kli mechaneh. Once they're off, it's okay. And this that we said that is a problem even if they're not on it right now. That was told when if it was on at least the whole entire period of Shabbos, then it, of the Bein Hashmashes, when it was coming at the Shabbos, then it would be a problem because then it's muktzah for the whole entire day. So up until now, we had two different interpretations. But both of Rabbah and of Rav Yosef in the Shita of Rav Chisda, that he had mentioned that a person is not allowed to, so to speak, catch an egg that's laid on Shabbos. And similarly, like the Mishnah, the Halach of our Mishnah, which said you're not allowed to catch the drips of oil that are coming out of a lamp on Shabbos. However, that we had two different interpretations of what the halacha was, if it was like Rabbah said, that the reason is because you're not allowed to move something for something that's not used, that cannot be used on Shabbos. Or was it like Rav Yosef said, that it's a different halacha, that's because you cannot abolish, you cannot annul a kli from its preparedness, and when you go ahead and catch it, it becomes subordinate to the muktzah, and now you can't move it anymore. And that's the issa, that was the opinion of Rav Chisda. Now the Gemara is going to bring a different Amor that argues on Rav Chisda. Amor Rav Yitzchak, k'shem she'enoisni kli tachas tarnagoylis l'kav mitzah. So just like Rav Chisda said, and I agree to that you're not allowed to put a vessel under the chicken to catch the egg that it's laying. On this, I argue on Rav Chisda, the same thing would apply, that you're not allowed to even go ahead and take a vessel and cover over the egg that was laid on Shabbos that it shouldn't break. And the Gemara explains his opinion. That Rabbi Yitzchak holds that a vessel is not allowed to be used only for something that's usable and movable on Shabbos. And therefore, this egg, which is muktzah, and you can't use it or move it on Shabbos. So you can't even take a vessel, even if it's not even touching it. But if it's for the purpose of this thing which cannot be used or moved on Shabbos, you can't move it for that purpose, and therefore it would be forbidden to do that to cover it because you're moving it for that purpose. And although Rabbah also said that as his interpretation of Rav Chisda, but Rabbah was different in the fact that Rabbah said there was a clause, there's an exception to this, which that he said, the Hatzalah Metzuyim Etez, Rav Chisda held that, so to speak, the Chacham, when they made this decree, they said if it's something for that's a preventative measure, which is a common day occurrence, that you're allowed to go ahead, and we did not make that isser of moving something for that purpose. The halacha muktzah did not apply to that. And therefore, Rav Chisda said, you're allowed to take the vessel to cover the egg. That's because it's common for the egg to so to speak, lay it in like this garbage dump where people are walking and they might break. Therefore, they're allowed to. But Rav Chisda said, there is no exceptions. You cannot move a vessel for something that cannot be moved, even if it's that it should protect it, that it shouldn't break. And that the Gemara says, that meisir kolhan to yufta. That then they asked all these questions that we had asked, both on the opinion of Rabbi and Rav Chisda and on Rav Yosef and Rav Chisda, and the Gemara, and in truth, we couldn't give the same answer that we gave for Rabbi, because although they share the same philosophy that the Isser is, that you can't move something for something that's not moved, letzarech davashay denitl, because Rabbi had this clause that said that if it's hatzala mitzui, if it's a common occurrence to prevent, then you're allowed to move it, and that was all his answers he gave. But Rabbi Yitzchak doesn't hold to that exception. So therefore the Gemara says that Rav Yitzchak would resolve all these refutations by saying that originally when you picked up this vessel that you ultimately ended up using to cover the egg, that it was used, it was first picked up for its own purpose. And that is, you wanted to go ahead and use this cup. You had to use it for something. You poured yourself a cup of water, whatever it is. Once you went and you picked it up for its own purpose, then you're allowed to go ahead and put it wherever you want to at the end. And that's even for something that cannot be used or moved. So therefore, as an example, the case of, let's say, covering the lamp that it shouldn't burn the fire up on top. What's the heter according to Rav Yitzchak, if you're not allowed to move it, something that can't be moved. On that, he would say that there it's different because we're talking about that you picked up the cup for using it for something else. And once you're holding it, then you're allowed to place it wherever you want to, and then you're allowed to put it down even to cover the lamp. But mitchila, to pick up something for that purpose, that's not permitted.
So on that, the Gemara says that they continued asking Yitzchok other questions. Toshim, I will learn the Braisa. Achas beitza shenold b'Shabbos, whether an egg that was born on or laid on Shabbos. Achas beitza shenold b'yonder, whether an egg that was laid on Yom Tov. Imatal ni'nala, move it again, because it's noyedlit, it's something that was created on Shabbos or Yom Tov, and it's mukta. And that is loy lechases b'asikli, not to cover a vessel with it, or v'lismach b'akara, meter, or to support the legs of a bed with it. Av koyfa lekli b'shvili shalay teshava. But you're allowed to take a vessel to go ahead and cover the egg that shouldn't get broken. And this seems to be not like Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak says that you can't go ahead and use the vessel. Rav Chisda said that you're allowed to go ahead and cover the egg. Rav Yitzchak says you're not allowed to. And here we have explicitly in the Braisa that says you're allowed to go ahead and use a vessel to cover the egg that shouldn't get broken. And that the Gemara says, here we're also talking about a case where originally you had picked up this vessel for some other purpose. And then when you're going to put it down, then we said once it was picked up for its own makom, for its own purpose, then you're allowed to go ahead and put it down to cover the egg. So the Gemara continues, Toshma learned the Braisa. Person machzolis al gabi avon b'Shabbos. You're allowed to spread mats on top of rocks on Shabbos. And that is that, for example, certain rocks that they wanted to use for building purposes, that it shouldn't get ruined from the rain, that it shouldn't dissolve, or that it shouldn't gather mortar around it, and that is because then it's going to get waterlogged. So they wanted to protect it. So you're allowed to take mats and go ahead and cover the rocks on Shabbos. The problem is, the mats are things which are allowed to be moved on Shabbos. But you're moving a letzarech davish ein into it. And I'll take these rocks. The rocks are totally muktzah. The muktzah machmas guva. They're inherently muktzah. There's no purpose for the rocks on Shabbos. So therefore, again, how, according to Yitzchak, you're allowed to use the mats to cover the rocks? And that the Gemara says, bavonim mukruzales. We're talking about pointed rocks. And that is, the chazin, the basic key, say that they're suitable for the lavatory, for the bathroom. That is, since they're pointy and they can be used to wipe the excrement off, so it's considered davar hanitel, that these rocks are things that could be used on moved in Shabbos, and therefore you're allowed to take the mats to cover it on Shabbos. So the Gemara continues trying to bring a proof, if we can prove or disprove Rabbi Yitzchak. Toshav Arulin Nebraisa. Person machzolis agabi levonim b'Shabbos. They were allowed to spread mats on top of bricks on Shabbos. And that is, although bricks which are used for building, they're muktzah, they can't be moved on Shabbos. And yet you're allowed to take mats to go ahead and cover it on Shabbos. Again, you're taking something that for something that can't be used or moved in Shabbos. And we don't have, let's say, the exception of Rabbah that says that if something is a common occurrence, you're allowed to go ahead. There's no exception according to Rabbi Yitzchak. And that the Gemara says, we're talking about that bricks that were left over from construction. That is the chazin lemizgalai, that they're suitable to recline on. And that is regular bricks that are being used for construction that no one's allowed to touch. They're going to get ruined. But these were left over from construction, and then you can use it to lean on it and to recline on it. Therefore, it has a usage, and that you would be able to move it on Shabbos, and that's why you're allowed to go ahead and use mats to go ahead and cover it and move it for something, because it is something that could be used and moved on Shabbos. So the Gemara continues trying to bring a proof. Toshma, person machzelis al gebe kveris devarim b'Shabbos. You're allowed to spread over mats on top of the beehive on Shabbos. And that's b'chamam ne'hachamam, that's in the summertime because of the sun, u'b'gsham ne'gasham, and during the wintertime because of the rain. In other words, there's different elements that might harm the beehive, so you can cover it over with a mat. U'b'vach le'iskam lo tzeh, as long as you don't intend to trap it. Because then you're going to be able to issa d'araisa tzeh of trapping, so if as long as you don't intend to do that, you're allowed to go ahead and cover it. And the question here is also, again, a beehive is something that's muktzah. And yet we say that you're allowed to go ahead and take a mat to cover it. Now the Gemara says, we're talking about that there's honey inside the beehive, which the honey is not mukta, and therefore you're taking the mat to cover something which could be used and moved, which is the honey, which is not mukta. However, I agree to the teretz, that makes sense, a lot of sense during the summer months, and we continue on to Amud Beis. And that is because in the summer months there is honey over there, and therefore there's something that's davar hanito that could be used and moved, and therefore you're allowed to take a mat to go ahead and cover that. But in the winter months, where there is no honey, what are you going to say? It said that you're allowed to move it in the summer because of the heat, the sun, and you're allowed to move it in the winter because of the rain, and yet in the winter there is no something that could be used and moved. There's no honey there. It's only there during the summer months. And therefore, how are you allowed to go ahead and use a mat to cover it? According to Rabbi Yitzchak, you're never allowed to use or move something for something that cannot be used or moved.
That the Gemara says, Lo nitzucha el lo'isin shtei chalas, that there is something that could be used and moved even during the winter months, because there are these two honeycombs. And that is, from all the beehives that are made out of these chalos devashes, they're called, that it was a combination of honey and wax. And that when we take out the honeycombs, they would leave two in there that the bees could have something to support themselves during the winter months, that they could eat off it, as the Gemara. But Bavasa says that whoever purchases all the honeycombs of his friend, he has to leave two there because that mistama that the person didn't sell because the bees need that to survive and he, so that the, it should have a continuity, you leave that amount. So they would leave the two honeycombs during the winter. So there is some honey there left that although they don't produce it during the winter, it's still there. And therefore, there's something that's not mokza that could be used to move on Shabbos, and therefore you're allowed to go ahead and cover the mat. But the Gemara asks, that's not true. V'amuktzis ninu, those two honeycombs that are set, they're set aside. In other words, they're there for the bees. Because if you would take it away, they would die out. So therefore, again, it's back to the question that it is a davar she'eino nitel. It's something that can't be used and moved on Shabbos because it's also separate. It's also set aside for the bees' mukts. And still we say you're allowed to go ahead and move the mat, the machtelis, to go ahead and save the beehive. Yet that's difficult according to Yitzchak. They said you're not allowed to use and move something for something that cannot be used and moved. And that the Gemara says the chashav alayu, that the person had already planned from yesterday that he wants to eat the honeycombs, although it might be dangerous for the bees of the beehive, he's going to eat those two honeycombs, and therefore now the beehive is not totally mukta because the honeycombs are, so to speak, usable and movable on Shabbos, and therefore you're allowed to go ahead and use the mats to cover it on Shabbos. But then the Gemara infers, haloi chashav alayu mai, so what would be the halacha if the person did not contemplate and think about before Shabbos that he intended to eat the honeycombs? Then it would be aser. If that's the case, ihachi had tani this that we learned ubavach leiskaven lotzit. As long as you don't intend to trap, and that is the only thing that you have to make sure that when you're coming to put the mat over the beehive, that might be a problem. But it's not true. Liflik v'lisne b'dida. Let us go ahead and draw a distinction and say something even regarding itself. That is b'med v'mem. When did we say this heter this that it's permissible to put a mat over the beehive? That's kishchishav alein. That's if you thought about it from before Shabbos. That is even during the winter months, that now there's the two honeycombs that you go in ahead and you can use it if we're allowed to go ahead and cover it. Also, we should have said, but however, not don't say, but it would be us if you're intending to trap it. Should have said something even in within the permissibility, that even if, so to speak, you're going to ahead and take the honeycombs, you're not even intending to trap it, but if you didn't think about it from before Shabbos, then it would be forbidden. And that the Gemara says that we want to tell you a different chiddush. Hakamash malon, that afa pishachich b'lein, that although we're talking about that you intended from before Shabbos to go ahead and use those two honeycombs, and therefore now there's no problem of moving this machzelis, this mat, for something that can't be used and moved because it could be, because you're going to use that honeycomb. Still, we wanted to tell you that chiddush will vouch leis kavan lotzit, as long as you don't intend to trap the thing, because then you're going to be over the issur d'oraisa of tzedem. And therefore, although we could have said that if you don't think about it before Shabbos, then it's going to be asur also, we wanted to tell you, even when you don't have the problem totally of muktzah, moving it for something that's not usable, but you can't intend to, so to speak, to trap the bees inside over there, because then you have the problem of tzedem. Now, the Gemara wants to elaborate on this point. Mani, who is the Tana of this brisa? And that is because it seems to be a contradiction. On the one hand, we had to say that we said kishachishe. There has to be that you thought about it before Shabbos, that those two honeycombs that are during the winter months, which is usually untouchable, you thought about it before and you want to go ahead and use it. And still we say that the Brisa says that davish ein miskav, something that you did not intend to do. For example, the trapping, that it's mutter. That seems to be like Reb Shimon. Whereas the idea about that you have to think about something before Shabbos, that although it's usable, but you have to consciously think that you're going to use it, that seems to be like the opinion of Reb Yehuda, as the Gemara explains. Reb Shimon, if the time of the Brisa is Reb Shimon, so the difficulty is, why did we have to say that during the winter time it's talking about that you have to, so to speak, consciously think before Shabbos that intending that I'm going to use that honey, and if not, it would have a loch of muktzah. But Reb Shimon less lay muktzah. He doesn't hold of the wide spectrum of muktzah like Rabbi Huda does. And therefore, according to him, you wouldn't have to think about before Shabbos on these two chalis davash, these two honeycombs that are left throughout the winter, because it's edible, it's usable. According to Reb Shimon, that doesn't have muktzah at all, even though you would normally leave it there for the whole winter. And therefore, why do we have to say it's Torman B'Shechishev, that you thought about it before Shabbos? So then it can't be Reb Shimon. And Reb Yehuda, if you're going to say it's like Reb Yehuda, and that's why we require that you have to think about it before Shabbos, that, so to speak, now it won't be muktzah, then the safe is difficult because kila miskaven mahava. Was it help that we said that as long as you don't intend to trap it on Shabbos, what does that help? Hadavashay miskaven asr. Reb Yehuda holds that something that you did not intend to do doesn't help you. It's still forbidden. And therefore, if it's going to be trapping, it's trapping. And therefore, you're going to be able to issur d'oraisa of trapping at Shabbos. How does it help that you didn't intend? So who's the town of the brisa? If it's Reb Shimon, then it's difficult the first half. And if it's Reb Yehuda, it's difficult the second half. That the Gemara says, L'olim Reb Yehuda. In truth, the town of the brisa is Reb Yehuda. However, umayu b'lvach le'eskaven lotzot. So what does it mean that as long as you did not intend to trap, that doesn't help? it doesn't make a difference what you intended to do. If you're going to be doing, for example, dragging a bench on the floor, even though you're not intending to make a ditch when you're dragging it, but if it does happen, you're going to be able to issue the rest of Shabbos. Or also, if you might by mistake trap the bees in there, you're going to be able to issue the rest of trapping on Shabbos. However, what the interpretation means that you don't intend to trap, it means lamaisa. Shalo yasena kimitu, that means that you should not make the mat into a trap. And that is, you should not totally cover it. Delishpik luhu rafcha, that rather you should leave a little space. That is, that the bees could get out somehow. Kihecha deloy litzu dumemele, so that it shouldn't by default on its own happen that you trap them. And that is because it's going to be, if you cover the whole thing, then it's going to be trapped. And even though you didn't intend it, then it's going to be asa. So what it means to say, as long as you don't intend to trap it, it means be careful that you should consciously make sure that you're not making it into a trap. And that is, you should leave a little bit of room that the beast could get out, even very small, but as long as they could get out, that's going to make sure that you're not being over the Isser of Tzedah. But of course, if you covered the whole thing, then even if you didn't intend it, it would be Aser, as the opinion of Rabbi Huda, because he's the town of the Brais. So now the Gemara continues and says, Rav Ashi, Amar Rav Ashi says, and Rav Ashi is coming to answer the question of Mar Ukva, that said that, I understand your answer for Rabbi Yitzchak on the Brais that said that you can go ahead during the summer months and the winter months, And that is because it's not a problem. It's not considered moving something for something that can't be used or moved. Because we're talking about that there's honey inside. But then the question was, but what are you doing during the winter time? The winter, there's no honey. So on that, the Gemara first gave one answer, which said that there is some honey. And we're talking about that the honey comes that you thought about it before Shabbos. Rav Ashi gives a different answer. And he says that really we're talking about that there's a lot of honey there. And therefore, that's why it's mutter to go ahead and use it and move it for it, because there's a lot of honey there. But the question is, what do you do with the winter months where there's no honey? So his answer is, Mikatoni b'moisachamo b'moisaksham. Did we ever say, if you look closely, read the words of the Brayso, did we say that you can move it during the summer months and the winter months? No, we said b'chamam ne'achama, in the sun because of the sun, u'b'ksham ne'hagsham katoni, and because of the rain, that you could, at the time when it's raining, to move it because of the rain. And what does that mean? That's b'yoymi nisna b'yoymi tishrei. That's during the months of Nisan and Tishrei, and the Ikacham of Ikacham, which during that time period there's sun and there's rain, the Ikadvash, and there's honey there. However, during the actual winter months, there we never said it. There would be prohibited because there's no honey. And even the little honey that's there, you're not going to use it and move it. And therefore, that's forbidden. So it's not a difficult, according to the interpretation, how we answer for Rabbi Yitzchak, because we're not talking about during the winter. It was Biksham Nehagshamim, which could be during Nisan and Tishrei, which have rain and has sun. And therefore, that's also the time period when there's still honey there. So now the Gemara continues and wants to bring a proof to this opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak, again, that one is never allowed to move something for something that can't be moved. You can't move a keli that's permitted to use, letzarech davish einin, until they can't be used and moved. As the Gemara says, Amar Rav Shesha, Rav Shesha said to his students, Puku v'amru le'lebi, so go ahead and tell Rabbi Yitzchak, k'var tirgum Rav Huna l'shmai tich b'vavl, that Rav Huna already elaborated on your halacha in Bavel, and that is that a keli cannot be used, it cannot be moved, only if it's something, ledavar anitel, but something that could be moved, as the Gemara brings. Dam Rav Huna, because Rav Huna said this following halacha, which is saying the same thing. Oisin mechitza lames, you're allowed to make an awning, a covering for a corpse, only b'shvil chai, only if there's also for a live person. Ve'ein oisin mechitza lames b'shvil mes, but you're not allowed to make an awning, a covering for a dead person, if it's only for the corpse. Which the Gemara says, Mahi, what is this halacha? What is the scenario that Rav Huna is talking about? Regarding a corpse that's laying in the sun, and is concerned that it might decompose very quickly because it's in the sun. So what you do is as follows. You have two people that sit on either side of the corpse, and they sit on the ground so that they should be bothered from the heat of the ground. And they're going to have to bring beds or couches to be able to sit on that. And then the beds that will be ultimately used as walls, as mechitzas, as the Gemara is going to explain. So what happens is, first it gets hot for them from the bottom, from the ground, because the sun is beating down the ground, they're sitting on the ground, it's hot for them. So there may be mita v'yeshavala, so this one brings a bed and he sits, and again, because you can't move things for things that can't be for moved, and again, the corpse is something that can't be moved. So they first have to need it, because they're uncomfortable sitting on the ground, so they could bring a couch to sit on it, but there may be mita v'yeshavala, and then this other guy brings a couch for himself to sit on it, so now they're both sitting on couches on either side of the corpse. Now, cham lehem al mala, now they're hot from the sun that's beating down on them from on top. So mevil machtzelas upars nalein. So they bring a mat and they spread it over the two of them. So now on either side of the corpse, they're both holding on top of them. So that's to protect themselves from the sun that's beating down on them from on top. Then
what the thing they do then is zezakiv mitasif. So now this guy raises up his bed, v'nishmat v'hoylech lo, and he slips away and he leaves. And then v'zezakiv mitasif v'nishmat v'hoylech, and then this guy, he also raises up his bed and then he leaves. And it comes out that the awning was made automatically, almost by itself. And that is because now he doesn't want to hold the thing that's covering him anymore. It's too hard. So he picks up his bed to hold it up. And now, because again, that's for convenience for him. And once that's done, then he could leave and the other guy could leave. And now you have an awning over the dead person, over the corpse. So it comes out it was done by itself. And when they wanted, they could just go ahead and leave. And that's the halacha that we said from Rav Huna, that just like Rav Yitzchak, that it's something that this machtzelis, this mat, would not be able to be brought for the corpse. Because again, a corpse is something that's mukta, it can't be moved and used on Shabbos. So therefore, this mat would also not be able to be used to make an awning over him. That's where Rav Huna had to come up with this patent to go ahead and make the situation where they could be bringing it for themselves, because I'm hot, I'm sitting here, and it could be brought for me. And once that's done, now I can use my bed to, so to speak, to hold up the thing that's covering over me, and then I could leave. And now you have this thing that's protecting the corpse. What's interesting is that, and Rashi tells us, is that why do I have to say in this interesting way that first it gets hot from them on the bottom, on the ground, and that they should bring beds to be able to sit on, and then that they're going to bring this mat, so to speak, to cover over the two of them on the top, and then they'll hold it, and then after a while they're going to go ahead and bring their beds and put it up. Rashi says, because it's based on the Gemara in Erevin, that says that regarding this madursa, that if you build it from the top down, that is, first you build the roof, then it's permitted. However, but if you would first bring the beds to make this oil, for example, to make the walls, that would be usur, because that would be from the bottom up, which would be first making the walls and then the roof. That's the way buildings are usually built. And the halacha is that what says, in oisin oil ari b'tchil b'Shabbos, you're not allowed to make even a temporary tent initially on Shabbos. And therefore, if you would first make the walls, which would be the beds, and then the roof, that would be a problem about making an oil aron Shabbos. And therefore, what they had to do was, first they had to, so to speak, hold up the thing on top of their heads. So you're first making the roof, and then they would put their beds up. That's making the walls after. That's not the way it's initially done. And that's why it's mutter to do that on Shabbos. There's no isser here at all, even the isser d'rabban, not making oil aron Shabbos. And regarding the fact that it's being brought for something that's a corpse, that you can't move something, but something that can't be used to move in the Shabbos, they took care of that by saying it's being done for ourselves. And again, that's the same halacha as Rabbi Yitzchak, and that's why he says, Rabbi Yitzchak, you should know that Rav Huna agrees to you. So related to the sugya regarding a corpse on Shabbos, what you're allowed to do for it on Shabbos, for example, if it's in the sun, we learned as follows. Idmar, meisa mutl b'cham, regarding a corpse that's lying in the sun. So what do you do with it? Again, as we mentioned, it could decompose quickly. You don't want it to be laying out degraded in the sun. So Rabbi Yehuda Meshmul says, you could roll it from bed to bed. And that is, you so to speak, pick up one bed and then roll it onto the other, roll to the other, until it gets to a shady place that it won't be laying out in the sun. Rav Chanina bar Shalom, Yemishmei de Rava, Manechal of Kikrei Tinik, you could put another loaf of bread over infant on the corpse, Umatadla, and then you could carry the corpse, because now it's, so to speak, it's a special, unique hat for this type of situation. But regarding the Shalach, we consider the corpse subordinate to the child or to the loaf of bread that you need, and therefore it's like a basket. Now you can carry it out to bring the infant or the loaf of bread where it has to get. So the Gemara explains, Hechadik a kikurei tinik, regarding where there is a loaf of bread or an infant available, then kulam alei pligidish, everyone agrees that's permitted to use that unique heter that they created, so to speak, make the corpse subordinate to the child or to the loaf of bread, that now it's permitted to move him, to move the bread with it. Ki pligidilesi, their homa chalikis was when there is no infant or loaf of bread. And that is marsav our ravhel tiltel menatzad shmei tiltel. Moving something that's mukta indirectly is considered moving it, and therefore that's why it's prohibited to go ahead and roll it from bed to bed, because although it's so to speak min hatzad, it's being done like what's called kalachayad, backhanded, that you're not doing it straight out, but since you're ultimately moving it, therefore it is the same halacha of mukta, and that's why you can't do it like that. Umar sava, but Shmuel held that loish meitilta, it's not considered moving it, and therefore since I'm not directly moving it, I'm so to speak just picking up the bed and tilting him over to the next bed, that's not considered movement, that's not considered the isra of moving mukta on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, let's say that this machleik is amiram, Rav Shmuel is really machleik is tanoim, because we learned as follows. Not to save a corpse from a fire that's burning, for example, let's say there's a dead body inside a building and the building is burning, not to save the body. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, says, no, I heard from my Messiah, my tradition is that you're allowed to save a corpse from the fire. So the Gemara wants to understand what's the scenario. Hey Chadami, if there's a child, there's an infant or a loaf of bread that's available, so what's the understanding of the Tanakhama that it's Aser?
everyone agrees that that should be permitted because it's subordinate to the child, and then you could carry the battery out that way. And idaleka, and if there is no infant or loaf of bread available, and this that Yehuda ben Lakish says that you're allowed to save the body, he was talking about directly carrying the body out, so then my time is during the Lakish. What's the understanding of Yehuda ben Lakish? They said it's permitted, but the corpse is mukta. How are you allowed to carry it? Elalav. So isn't it logical to say that betiltum and atzat pliga, that they're arguing on this same machlokes whether you're allowed to move something indirectly? The marasav betiltum and atzat shmeitilt. The tanakam held that there's no way to get the body out if there's no infant or loaf of bread, because even moving it indirectly would also be considered moving it, and that's the isra of mukta. Or marasav loish shmeitiltel, and that Yehuda Malakut held that it's not considered moving mukta, and therefore that's why you're allowed to go ahead and carry the corpse out on Shabbos, which seems to be the same machlokes as a Rabbi Shmuel. And that thing says loy. It's not true. The kuliyama tiltum and atzach me tiltum. In truth, we could say that everybody holds that moving indirectly is considered moving, and therefore would be usher to carry out the corpse on Shabbos even indirectly. Behind the time of Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, so what's the understanding of the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish that says it's mutter? How are you going to get him out? Even if, so to speak, you roll him, again, you're not carrying the actual corpse with your own hands, but indirectly, you moving, using something else to move him. You're holding the bed and moving him on the bed. And if that's usher, so how can you get him out? And that the Gemara says, "Dimitech sha'adam bol al mesa." Since a person is very distressed and he's a matzav of behola, he's so to speak caught up because of his corpse. And we continue on to the top of Mimdalam and Alf. Ilay sharisle, if we wouldn't permit the person to go ahead and carry out the corpse on Shabbos, asi lichvuye, so then he would come to extinguish the fire, he would put it out, and he would be over isadaraisa. In other words, we allow the person to go ahead and be over this isadarabanan, albeit, let's say, by tiltum and atzad, which is, although we consider it like moving it mukta, but we allow the person to go ahead and move out the corpse, which is isadarabanan, so that it shouldn't come to a situation he might do an actual isadaraisa because he's going to be so worried the body's, so to speak, getting burned, that he's going to put out the fire, he's going to be over this isadaraisa mechaba. However, but if, let's say, the body's laying in the sun, then we never said that it's mutter because that's your classic tiltum and atzad, which is indirectly moving, which is aster. That is the halacha mukta, and therefore maybe everybody agrees that the halacha would be tiltum and atzad from the Tanoim, that it would be considered tiltum, and the hetar of Yehuda ben Lakish is a different svar, that we allow that, so to speak, to transgress the rabban and the mukta, not to be over on the isa deraisa of kibui, of extinguishing the flame on Shabbos. So the halacha the Gemara brings, Amir Yehuda ben Shilai, Amir Basi ben Biachan, halacha Yehuda ben Lakish ben Meis, halacha follows Yehuda ben Lakish regarding a corpse, that since the person is so bald, he's so distressed, he might come to do something in his haste, and he's going to extinguish and be over the isadaraisa of putting out a fire on Shabbos. Therefore, we allow him to carry out the corpse on Shabbos, and thereby transgress the isa of mukta, not to come to an isadaraisa.